Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is using WebSphere Message Broker Configurable Services. Today's presenter is Michael Patton. Michael is the lead for the WebSphere Message Broker Level 2 support team. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Michael.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending upon where you are. Thank you for joining me today as we are going to go over WebSphere Message Broker Configurable Services. Today's session is going to be a very high-level view, almost an introduction to configurable services. It is geared towards someone just starting out with configurable services. If you would please move to the next slide. The agenda for today is we're going to talk just briefly a little bit about what is a configurable service. We're going to describe it and offer some ideas of what they are. We're going to do some basic security of configurable services. Then I'm going to have a quick poll to figure out if there are any specific configurable services that people are most likely want to tune into. If it looks like it's pretty well spread apart, I'll just roll through all the configurable services that I have in my slide deck. Slide 3, please. Let's get started. What is a configurable service? Well, if we take a look, a configurable services are typically runtime properties. You can use them to define properties that are related to external resources or external services on which the broker is going to depend upon or rely upon. For an example, we can use them for an SMTP server or a JMS provider. We can see a similarity between configurable services and this picture of what I have up here for a network of computers. If each laptop on this screen represents an execution group, and the server in the middle there represents the entire broker represents an entire domain, then each laptop would need to be configured to know all the details of how to talk to that server. They're going to need to know things such as its URL, the port that it can communicate with. It's going to have to know how to log into it. Just as several items of things that these laptops are all going to need to know in order to get onto that server. As you can see, each one of those details could add up. I mean, with all the increasing complexity of some of the communications on a network, we can see that each one of those laptops could become very labor-intensive to configure and set up to talk to the server. Slide 4, please. Instead of defining the properties on the node or for the message flow itself, we can create a configurable service so that the nodes and the message flows can refer to them when trying to run at runtime. Using the same network that we had before, we see that the network of laptops are all communicating with a router, which then communicates with the server. The configurable service is going to sit inside and look and act much like the router will in a network. What it's doing there is it's saying, okay, we're going to go to one place. We're always going to know about this one place, and from there, it knows where it needs to go. A configurable service does the same thing. You will be able to change a configurable service so that any number of different flows, any number of different execution groups, it is very granular in how deep you can go. These flows being configurable means that once you've deployed them, all you have to do is just leave them out there. And in situations, if you look at it, the message flow, if something happens to the back-end server, let's say you upgrade your server from AIX 4 to AIX 7, and the machine and the host name and everything else changes, all you need to do is just change a configurable service without having to go back into all your message flows and altering properties in the message flows in order to get to it. Just by changing the configurable service, we'll be able to tell the brokers that, okay, now you're going to this server to get your information and not the other way around. Slide 5, please. So what are some of the configurations or some of the pros and cons? I've just got a few of them listed here, but the first one is they're very straightforward to configure. A configurable service, we'll discuss today just how simple it is to actually create your configurable service. In fact, IBM even provides you with a set of services already, which are used for several of our default settings. We're going to go over how to customize them for your own needs. Another pro for using configurable services is that they are visible in your admin tooling. You can create a configurable service in the MQ Explorer. You can create it on the command line. And in either case, the service will show up in your MQ Explorer, making it very simple to see. And if you ever need to alter it, you'll be able to with relative ease. In several instances, another pro for using a configurable service is that your bar file may actually be decreased in size, even if it's only slightly for some of them. Another one is that they are active only for the broker that it was created for. That will allow you to have different sets of configurations for multiple brokers on the same machine. In some cases, they're only active for a very specific execution group, which makes them very granular. Now, what are some of the things that people would say, well, I don't know about a configurable service. I don't like this about it. Well, it does require you to do some initial work and configuration up front. If we take a look and if we think about what a front-end mutual fund, a front-end loaded mutual fund is, you have to pay for your mutual fund up front, much like you will with a configurable service. You have to configure it up front. But much like a mutual fund, if you get a front-end loaded mutual fund or a back-end loaded mutual fund, you're going to pay for it somewhere. You can either pay for it at the front or you can either pay for it in the back. I would much rather pay for it right up front and be done with it. Another con that someone might say, well, it's only active for one broker. That means I need to configure multiple configurable services for multiple brokers. Yes, that is true. But if you want a system-wide type of configuration for it, if you're looking for something that says, I want this to apply to all message brokers that I have on this machine, then we would go into using environment variables instead. Another con for a configurable service is that in some cases, the broker or the execution group must be restarted in order for some changes to be made. We move on to slide 6, please. A configurable service, there are four commands that we're going to use in order to manipulate a configurable service. They are you want to be able to create them, which is pretty self-explanatory. You want to create them right off. You want to delete your configurable service. You want to see what configurable service you have out there. And you might, if you already have one, you might want to change it. Those are the standard four operations that you may want to do with anything. The commands, I have the four of them listed here. We have create and delete configurable services. They are specific, saying that we're actually going to create or delete it. The report, the properties portion, once you create a configurable service, it becomes a property of the broker. So we're actually going to be changing the properties of a configurable service. There are four flags that we're going to need for each and every time, for each and every one of these commands. The dash C flag is going to identify what the configurable service type is. On each of these slides, I'm going to give you what the dash C parameter is going to be for what the configurable service is. The dash O is primarily used because you're going to give your configurable service a unique name. Or if you're going to operate on one of the configurable services that we've already provided for you, you're going to give it the name that we've already provided in there. And that's what the dash O is going to be. The dash N property is referring to what are the properties that you want to change. As we go through all these different configurable services, you're going to see that some of these services have one or two properties that you can alter. Some of them have a huge list. These values are all comma separated, and the dash V is going to actually give the value. So in many cases, you're going to see a dash C, some value, a dash O, some value, a dash N, value, comma, property name, comma, all the way down to how many properties you want to specify. Then the dash V, you're going to be able to set what all of those values are going to be. Obviously, you're going to need to do them in the same order. Now, I know many times people come along and they've been given, oh, you're now in charge of the message broker. I do see that several times on here in Level 2 support. And customers come to us and they say to us, well, I've got this great, I've just developed, just been handed this message broker. It's mine to administer. How do I know what configurable services are out there? Well, like I said, all your configurable services are properties. Once you've created them, they are properties. We've included the one command here that shows how to capture all of them. The NQSI report properties command, and you give it the name of your broker, and we've added the all types class and the all reportable entity names as a name. And the dash R just indicates that you want to do a recursive listing. So it's going to go down the tree showing all of your configurable services, all of your properties of the message broker, and it's going to spill them out for you. If you have your broker up and running, you'll be able to run your MQSI report properties, and you can redirect that information to a file, and it'll show you each and every one of the properties that you can configure. It'll show you all the different classes that you have. If you ever get lost, this is a great command because it will essentially it's going to do a broker dump of all your configurable services. Slide 7, please. As I said in the agenda, we're going to be looking into some basic security. For the most part, the broker will oftentimes need to use some type of broker ID and password to access some external resource. The most common external resource that the broker is going to need to access is a user database. We've been using user databases for quite some time. In the earlier versions of the message broker, you had to configure your database to use a user ID, to use the user ID and password that the broker was running under. We've since advanced since then and have added for you the ability to say when you're going to database my security data or my data or whatever database that it is you want to go to, you no longer have to have that database configured to use the broker ID and password. We now allow you to set up so that your user ID and password can get to that database based upon the properties that you're giving it. The broker knows, based upon a security ID, that, all right, when I'm going to database A, I'm going to log in with this user ID and password. In essence, what this is buying you is an ability to place a user ID and password in the router that we saw earlier. And it says that if you ever change the ID and password that your database requires for access, and oftentimes we'll see that passwords get changed. I know at IBM where we're required to change our passwords at a standard frequency. I imagine a lot of other companies out there doing the same thing. It will allow you to just change your password in one location rather than having to go through and change properties and all your message flows and all your execution groups and all your brokers, just changing it at one location. To me, that is a heck of a lot simpler than trying to figure out, okay, where did I set this password? How do I get back to that? Just by having a configurable service saying, okay, when I go to this database, just change it here, and then everything else will start picking up the new property. Slide 8, please. Setting a security file. We were setting up concerning how do we go about setting up the security information that we want to have. And for the most part, we're going to use the MQSI set db parms command. Now, this command, while not a configurable service command, will come into play in so many different places, especially when using configurable services, and it is a configurable service-like because it does have a central routing point where everything will access in order to get to an external resource. We'll see here, there are only three parameters that we have to give for the MQSI set db parms command. That is the resource name, and I have a whole bunch of resource names listed here below. The user ID, and the password that you're going to use. We'll see, if we take a look through this list, the DSN, that's the one for looking at a database server name. You can actually omit that prefix when using. In fact, I have found that if you put DSN in, it doesn't work right now, where I'm looking into that with our change team, but all the others work fine. We have our KICS, if you're setting up to interact with a KICS connection, JDBC for looking at Java database connections, JMS, JNDI, LDAP, EIS, that's for external adapters such as SAT, our FTP and our SFTP and our SFN. All these resource names below, they're going to start. Oh, you're going to give a command, M2SI set DB parms minus N. Let's say we're going to set up an interface so that we can go through, do an FTP. You're going to set it up so it's going to be MQSI set DB parms space minus N space FTP :: and then whatever name you want to give it, whatever name that you would like. If we move on to slide 9, I'll have it spelled out as an example for you to look at. If we look here, I've got MQSI set DB parms and a name of a broker, minus N, FTP, :, FTP security ID. The FTP security ID is the object name. That could be any name that you want it to be. But just make note that once you set it to that ID, then if you need to reuse it, that's the name you're actually going to use. Then the minus U and the username that you want to give it, the minus P and the password that you wish to give it. We can also have, I also have another example here showing you how to set it up if you want to use secure FTP. The second line there shows you how to set it up if you just want to have the message broker store, we're going to encrypt the password for you, to have it store the user ID and password in our internal registry. And the other option that I mentioned earlier is that we also have the SSH identity file. Many Unix systems are now providing an SSH implementation, and that is as part of their default distribution. Just essentially here, you just give it the username, the identity file, and the passphrase that you wish to give it, and life goes on. It's going to go to that SSH implementation and bring down your information, use your logon information, and move on to the next network. Now, Joe, if you would please, can you go ahead and run that poll for me?
All right, so far it looks like most people voted for JDBC, followed closely by two other choices, which are EIS and JMS.
Okay, so let's go to JDBC first. That's going to be slide 17. Okay, JDBC. Well, you note earlier that I've mentioned there's our class. The JDBC is the class JDBC providers. In order to use the JDBC configurable service, the first thing we want to do is create the identity, the security identity that we're going to give a user ID and password for us to communicate with the back-end JDBC server. We're going to do that again with our MQSI set DB parms command. Now, the MQSI set DB parms, as listed here, it tells you that we need to fill in the broker name, the security identity. As we saw before, that's going to be your JDBC :, and then whatever identity that you want it to use, minus U, give it the user ID that it's going to use, and the minus P, and the password you want it to use. What we have here is you have a choice of different service names, because IBM does supply for you configurable services for JDBC. In step two, when we're actually going to go change the properties of the broker name, change properties for the broker, we have your MQSI change properties command. The name of your broker, the class is still JDBC providers, and minus O, which is the service name. And your service name choices are DB2, Informix, Oracle, and Sybase. You can use Informix with date format, Microsoft SQL Server, and Sybase JConnect 605. These are all some of the service names that we have provided for you. And again, you can, if you ever get lost as to where they are, you can use the MQSI report properties command to find them. We can also alter any existing service. I mean, these existing services that we have out there, in addition to just telling it that, okay, the basic is you just want to tell it which identity you want it to use and how it's going to get there. But we can also alter any of the other properties that we have for JDBC. There are quite a few of them. If we look at JDBC, let's see, if we go to slide 18, we have all the properties that you're allowed to alter using JDBC. What we have here for the configurable service for JDBC is that you're allowed to change the connection URL format attributes. Now, these attributes, essentially, they're giving you information on how you're going to change them, what pieces are allowed to be changed. These formats contain non-standard JDBC source properties, such as server identifier, connection URL formats, all these different properties we supply for you, but they are editable by you. You are allowed to change them. You can probably, the most likely one that you're going to change might be max connection pool size, configure your port number. You can configure where your Java files are going to be if you need to access them, if you want to update your database version or your database type for it. These are all available to you. You can even use your configurable service to set up if you have a non-standard JDBC interface. If you have a non-standard JDBC interface, then you will certainly need to set it up so that you have all your own properties are known. You need to know what the database name is, the port number that you're going to communicate with, because there are some non-standard databases out there. And if you can write a class to access them through JDBC, you can use the message broker to communicate with them through JDBC as well. All right. The second choice was EIS. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. EIS. EIS. And that was on slide 12, please. Okay. When we're looking at EIS, essentially what the EIS is we're going to look at all the different WebSphere adapters. The command for the EIS configurable service, all that is going to tell us, for the class EIS providers, all that is going to tell us is make a change to where we're going to find our JARS URL and our native libraries. The MQSI change properties command, the most common one that we have here is JARS URL and the native URL. You'll notice in here the dash O parameter for EIS type. We have four of them available to you that we've created for you. We have PeopleSoft, we have SAP, we have Siebel, and we have Twineball. These are the four. We provided those four for you because we have those four types of nodes already built into the message broker. If you would please go ahead and change to slide 13. Slide 13, these are the SAP connections. I'm just going to go over the SAP because that seems to be the most popular. With the SAP connection configurable service, this is going to be in addition to using, in addition to changing the EIS configurable service, EIS providers. This is going to be another configurable service that you can alter or create with the MQSI Create Configurable Services. We have all these different properties that you can set up for your connection. We have your application server host, message server host. We have the number of listeners that you can communicate with. All these properties are set up so that you don't have to configure them within the flow themselves. All these properties set up, okay, I'm going to the SAP server. If you set it up through a configurable service, if your host changes, it's real easy to change a SAP connection right here in the server host field. The MQSI Create Configurable Service command, we can go through all of these different properties. And the third one was JMS. Okay. If we go to slide 19 for JMS. The class for the JMS Configurable Service is JMS Providers. Similar to the IMS configurable service and similar to the JDBC and similar to the EIS, we've supplied several default configurable services for you to use. They all have a dash O that we've allowed for you, that we've pre-configured. More than likely, where we're hoping you're using WebSphere MQ, but we have all these others. You can use JBoss, you can use Oracle, you can use OpenJMS, ActiveMQ, generic LDAP. These are all different types of configurable services that you can communicate with. And to change these, it's still going to be the MQSI change or MQSI change properties command, name of the broker, dash C, JMS providers. If we go to slide 20, we're going to see some more properties that we can change. What we see on slide 20 is giving us information on some of the properties that we're allowed to change. The most likely one that you're going to want to change is going to be the initial contact factory. If you change where that is, if you change your JARS URL, if you're changing where some of your native libraries are, these are all properties that you can change. With the MQSI change properties command, you can set, like I've given an example here, you can say, okay, I now want my initial context factory to be a com.sun.jndi.fs context. You can tell it, okay, we're changing it. So now when your next Java flow comes through, your JMS flow comes through, it's going to look up this configurable service, and it is going to route it and say, okay, oh, look at this. My context factory is now over here. So let's go there and get our JNDI information so we know where we need to go to get to a queue manager and what queue to get to. I've shown you in many of these cases how to do this on the command line. We also have an ability, not only through the command line, as I mentioned earlier, we have an ability to use the MQ Explorer in order to configure this information for us. If you would please go to slide 14. Slide 14 is a picture of us looking at the FTP configurable service. If you open up the WebSphere Message Broker version 7 MQ Explorer, well, you'll see under the broker that you have a whole list of configurable services. You can toggle back and forth between configurable services that are available to you that we've already provided, and it also allows you to create new ones. You can turn off the ones we've created if you know you're never going to change them so that they're just not visible. But what we see here is just a dialog box. It says, okay, here's my server name. Here's my name. And you'll notice I gave it the FTP AEM AIX4. That's the name of the server. That's the name of the configurable service. The type is FTP server. The type is also the class name. And we'll look down, and I've got some information in here that I can tell it, okay, I know I'm doing FTP. I see a remote directory. That remote directory is pointing me to, okay, I've got a file on my server. I have an AIX server that I've got a directory there in my home directory /filenode/FTP so that if I send a message there, if I want to get a message from there, I say, okay, that's a directory I'm going to look for it with my file nodes. Two lines beneath that, you'll see the security identity. If you remember earlier when I was talking about the MQSI set DB parms and then I mentioned, okay, here's the name of the FTP security ID that I wanted you to remember. The FTP security ID is listed here. You don't need the FTP :: in front of it. It already knows that. The security identity here is now going to say, okay, when I go to log into that AIX machine, which is remote for me, I'm going to need the security ID and password that I have stored inside the MQSI set DB parms command. All these other properties are pretty well self-explanatory on how they want to communicate and how they want to get over to it. All right. I still have a couple more minutes. I'll do one more. I'll do the Java class loader configurable service because this is one of the class loaders. This is one of the configurable services that allows us to be very specific on message flows all the way down to the execution group. If you would please go to slide 16. Now with the Java class loader, if we note that the broker uses four different types of class loaders. We have an execution group shared class loader. We have a shared class loader. We have a broker class loader. And we have a system class loader. If we set up a Java class loader configurable service, we are using the execution group shared class loader. This essentially is telling us that, okay, I want to go out and deploy a bar file. And if I have this configurable service set up, we're going to say Java class loader service, and we give it the name of this configurable service that we're going to put in here. I pointed out, highlighted right there with the Java class loader service, when you give it your -o name, that's where you're going to put it for the node. And we're going to go to that service, and we're going to see the different properties that we have for it. For this one, there are really only two different properties that we have for the Java class loader. first one is the included deploy jar file. That is essentially saying that the jar files that are loaded by the class loader, these jar files must be deployed to the execution group. And we can specify none if no deploy jars are to be loaded, automatic if only the jar file that contains the class is required by the compute node to be loaded. The default setting is automatic for it. And we have the shared jar path, which is more than likely going to be the one that you really want to look at. This is a fully qualified file path for a single additional directory to be searched by the class loader. Now, the beautiful thing about this is that you can load a class for your message flow using this service by saying, okay, my classes for this flow are here. That allows you to have different flows accessing different classes at different locations. This is a really neat service. It allows you to work with individual flows. As opposed to if you had taken your jar files and put them into this shared classes directory, then that means that would have been loaded by the shared class loader rather than the EG shared class loader. This way, now you can have a message flow that is calling class A from flow A, and you can have another execution group calling class B, which is in a different location, and have it load class B, and the two of them will be separate and distinct because they are loaded by different class loaders. I'm going to move on. I'm seeing I'm running short on time here. I'm going to move on towards the very end. I'm going to invite questions about any of these configurable services. I have a whole bunch of them listed in this presentation. It's not in an exhaustive list. We go all the way to the end. If we go to slide 26, there's a complete list of configurable services and all their properties at this URL. That is the WebSphere Message Broker Information Center, page AN60170, underbar. There is an underbar between that 70 and the .htm. I would like to ask Joseph to open it up, and we'll get into some questions and answers.
Thank you, Michael, for an excellent presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
I have no questions.
Thank you, Jackie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.